Testing, checking. Yes! Let's go!
This is the Family Cast! This is the Family Cast! Food and music is life! Yes! Food!
Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Family Cast, Food and Music is Life. Yes, I'm your host, Chef Josh, Chef JK, Chef Yosh, call me whatever you want. Just be nice. I'm sensitive. Yeah, this is the Food and Music is Life. Yes, pairing podcast, and I speak to musicians and people in the industry of hospitality or music or both, or whatever worlds overlap in those two genres, those fields, because I'm in both, baby. I do music, I do food, I do it all. He does it all. And the people I talk to, they do a lot of stuff too. Today's guest is no exception to that. He is drumming on this music behind me. It was one of the songs on the Be Well album, The Weight and the Cost, in 2020. But his list is extensive. Andrew Black. He's been drumming for a lot of projects, a lot of bands, currently in Laughing Matter and God Collider, who are coming on tour to San Diego in June with none other than Zayo and a few other bands on the same bill. It's going to be a great tour, insane show. If you love metalcore, metal, all classic metal like that, be sure to see it. Check it out, God Collider. They got a new single. I will play it at the end of the conversation. And of course, he does so much other stuff too. I caught him on a conversation right after he came up from surfing, and we talked about our back problems and so much more. And he even did some food pairings with his music. So that's really cool. So he's such a cool dude. And be sure to check out all of the projects that he drums on, all of the bands that he's been in. Like I said, the list is long. So I'll play some of his music after the show. And be sure to listen to the other episodes. I got playlists. I got rad conversations with all kinds of rad people. All my friends are awesome, right? All my friends do cool things. And so check out all the conversations and the kitchen pairing stuff. And share the show. Share the show with somebody else who should hear about food and music pairings or recipes or whatever. Follow the show on Instagram.com/TheFamilyCast. All kinds of links in there, all kinds of links in the show notes at all times, and lots of concert and album recommendations and all that. So yeah, I'm Chef Josh. I hope you enjoy this show because it's going to be a good one. Mr. Andrew Black from God Collider, Laughing Matter, Be Well, The Explosion, all kinds of other stuff. So too many to list, right? But yeah. Oh, and another thing too. I do have a beer and food pairing dinner coming up in June. And you know there's going to be rad music too, of course, up in North San Diego County. So be sure to check that out. Links in the show notes. Beer pairing dinner, June 11th. Check it out. But let's get into the conversation with Mr. Andrew Black. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, may I present to you Andrew Black. Let's dig in. Yeah. All right. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between there, I finally got a hold of my man, Mr. Andrew Black. Black's Records, you may know him online as that. He's sitting at the drum kit where he spends most of his time because his latest project, God Collider, they're coming on tour in San Diego. They got a new record coming out, and I want to hear all about that. He was just telling me some rad stuff, and I was like, I got to get all those juicy details because it sounds like it was an all-star cast in the recording studio as well. And so Andrew, bring me up to speed on God Collider, the studio process, and we're going to get into all the other projects that you're involved with too. So how are you today?
I'm well, and thank you so much for having me on.
Sure, sure.
It was kind of nice just jumping right into it.
And, yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, But the God Collider stuff, the single we have, Perihelion, that's about to come, well, it's already out. It's part of a EP that we recorded, and Indecision, thank you, Dave, is going to be putting that out for us.
That's rad.
And the recording of it was really awesome. We were able to track drums with Alex Estrada at the Pale Moon Ranch. And it's this beautiful studio. It overlooks like pear blossom, and he's got this affinity for kind of like abandoned California, towns like mine towns and stuff like that. So
Great
he's just a
setting.
really interesting dude, and he tracked these killer sounds for us that then got passed off to Taylor Young to mix. And Taylor did this amazing job with the mix, and it was one of the best like initial mixes as a drummer that I'd ever heard.
That's cool. And you've done a lot.
It was kind of like when I heard Chris Moore from Magruder Grind and various other projects doing front of house for Dag Nasty. It's like the mix was just like very drum heavy, and it sounded killer.
That's
So
good for a
when
drummer here, right?
I mean, it's wonderful. And so when I heard Taylor Young's mix of the stuff we tracked with Alex, every single drum input and channel sounded just like so maxed out and so wide that it was almost about to distort. And then like that level was just really raised in the mix. And so I thought it was just like sounded outstanding.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
I'm really excited for people to hear this too, because it's also like I've been playing drums for a while, but I'd never really gotten into double bass. And so when I started playing with God Collider, I was like, maybe I can, work on some stuff to like try to, fit the tunes better.
It sounds really tight. It sounds like you guys are have been playing for a long, long time, but it's pretty newer, right? You weren't with them in like East Coast or anything.
No, it was my first time ever in the studio tracking double bass, so I was like a little bit apprehensive, and
Nailed
but
it.
uh well yeah and there were only a couple spots that Alex had to clean up, but yeah, for the most part I had solid takes, so I was pretty proud of it. And like I said, I'm really excited for people to hear these songs.
But I see a lot of your videos. You like to sit in the pocket a lot. You're like a groove player. Like you do it all. You can go anywhere from hardcore to rock, punk, and then you got all this like groovy licks. And I think you have a big hip hop influence, it sounds like.
I feel like the groovy licks is kind of a result of my own personal limitations about like what else I want to do. I feel like that pulse, that meter, it's so easy to achieve if you've kind of like slow yourself down. But I think slowing down as a player is something that I took years to kind of understand myself too.
That's the same thing we do in the kitchen. It's like, dude, take it easy and you'll figure out more things, right? Slow down sometimes to speed up. That's the actual phrase we use, slow down to speed up. But let's take it back. What was the first like hardcore or punk band you did, or any band? What did you first start doing with drums?
I had I had a band in high school with my sister and my friend Ian, my friend Costas, and we were called Gen Hit. And we were just some kids in Maryland right outside of DC. And we played shows. We played some actually. When the 930 Club was about to move from their F Street location up to where it is now, they opened the basement and they called it the Atlantis, which was the name of, the Atlantic building, the Atlantis, when 930 first opened. So that, yeah, like that Bad Brain song At the Atlantis Tonight is about the old 930.
Oh, nice.
And
Okay. Makes
yeah, and
sense.
so like my first band ever got to like play one of our last shows at the reopened Atlantis in the basement of the 930 Club. And so as a kid,
Perfect.
it was kind of like this is pretty cool. And so that was the first time I'd ever like been in like a studio. We went with our friend Rob Christensen in Northern Virginia, and it was just I don't know, it was a really cool experience feeling like, wow, like we're kind of like we're just kids, but like we're actually part of this community of like people who are sound engineers and musicians and work at venues in DC and Northern Virginia and Maryland. And like it just felt like suddenly you were just like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Just like going to your first show. It's like, whoa, there's like a network of people who make this shit happen.
Definitely. And then it was all downhill from there for you, right? Like just bands and then bands and bands and more bands. And then here we are today. But you put out some rad music for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. That means so much. I don't really want to gloss over that. How much gratitude I have for like when an individual just says that.
You're welcome. And you've been on a lot of the recordings you're on also have, like you said, good mixes, good studios, it's like an all-star lineup sometimes. And it's just, you seem to align yourself with those musicians, but you've probably known a lot of the East Coast guys for a long time too, since you're from over there, right?
Yeah.
Being in the scene since you were kids.
I mean, it was also, so it's really easy to move around the East Coast via Chinatown bus or train or, you know, hopping in a car, or if you had your own car, you know, like,
yeah,
my friend Michael Cotterman, you know, he had this, you know, car that he used to drive from, I think, like DC up to Philadelphia to play with Kid Dynamite to do rehearsals. And I did the same thing, you know, I was like trying to make, you know, college and University of Maryland at College Park work, but I was going up to practice with the Explosion in Boston. So I'd like do the Chinatown, like,
yeah,
overnight, you know, have to stop in New York to transfer, you know, but that was like, I wanted to be part of that band, and so I'd make things like that work, you know.
Yeah,
and you know, the cities are all close enough that you can do that.
It's so, everything's so close over there, it seems like, compared to being down here, you know, well, the states are like the times of, there's only three states on the West Coast compared to so many over there. But that's really cool, because but the bands that, you know, I mean, were you on all the Explosion recordings for the most part?
I was not. The first EP in Flash, 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 like the big record on Jade Tree.
Yeah.
Like, that was Dan Colby.
Okay.
And I joined when they were in Washington, D.C., recording more stuff with Brian McTernan. And so Brian was an engineer, producer, and also sang for a band called Battery and played guitar in Ashes. And,
yeah, yeah. Totally.
Just amazing guy. Great engineer. Hell of an engineer. Like, just, God damn.
Legend. So then I know you have a big love for the band Battery too. Like, as you know, I see you always rocking their gear and stuff too.
Well, I mean, I actually got that when I did a European tour playing for them a couple years ago. And so that was like another thing, like, just growing up in DC and just being a massive fan and like being at their shows, and then just, you know, them, you know, asking, you know, me to play drums, and them was just like, yes, of course.
It's of course,
like,
they will. Yeah, totally. You already knew all the songs. Right?
Yeah.
Dope. And then I know that you just came out of the water. You're like surfing, you stay in shape. What do you have, like a healthy diet too?
I eat vegetarian. But, you know, like I, you know, for, well, I broke my back in 2020. And so like for medicinal purposes, I was like, you know, for the first 3 months after, surgery, I was drinking like a cup of bone broth a day to kind of get that natural collagen.
Yeah.
That you can't really find in like vegetarian supplements, you know?
Right. Definitely.
So, you know, I like to eat vegetarian, but you know, in odd cases like that, I felt like, you know, I kind of had to take care of myself and heal my back post surgery. So
totally. Are you all healed up?
Yeah, I'm feeling all right. You know, I'm taking care of myself. I'm still doing all my PT exercises daily and stuff. Man. And so gratefully, you know, 8 months after surgery, I was able to surf again, and yeah, this morning was great. Went to Bolsa Chica, caught some good ones with my friend Shad.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I had back surgery, and it's still like, it's a long road to recovery sometimes, when every once in a while you feel the tinge of pain or whatever. And then you're like, uh-oh, gotta better take care of myself so that goes away.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't break my back.
This once.
But, you know, what'd you do to break your back?
It was just a repetitive, like stress work injury. Like,
oh, okay.
It happened like multiple times, and you know,
dang, but that sucks. I feel your pain.
Literally, probably.
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, but it's good to see you, like, you know, sitting in a drum kit and still making these rad tunes and beats and stuff like that. Because like I know that you did what a good about half at least of the Be Well, Wait in the Cost album. What were we doing after that record? Didn't you do with what was the other thing that you were tell me what you did after Be Well?
That was around the same time that that Battery was getting ready to go to Europe. So I think in that same window I went back to DC and Baltimore to track that record for Brian for Be Well. That's when I also started like running the Battery tunes with Mike Schleibaum at his studio in Tacoma Park.
Nice. So you like to stay busy.
I love to, and it's like I love being able to do production work, but I also love playing, and I love being of service to other artists, and I love, it's crazy. It's like I love hardcore, you know, like I love seeing the resurgence in hardcore, and I love seeing all the different bronchials of all the different genres. It's just so inspiring seeing the way it's kind of evolving.
Heck yeah. It took us a long time to, it took people a long time to figure out that they, you know, we can make any kind of music and still make it energetic and hard. It doesn't have to, now that they're using samples of movies in there and like different, like, you know, hip hop stuff and some of the hardcore stuff. Like it's a nice evolution, I think, instead of just like tough guy screaming and the chorus verse breakdown chorus, you know, that kind of stuff. Like there's a lot of good evolution in music, I think, as a listener, you know.
I'm excited for
Boom. Yes, definitely excited for Sound and Fury. How many bands are you playing with at Sound and Fury?
I'm not playing at Sound and Fury. I'm gonna enjoy it. Last year I saw Gulch's set. Were you there for that?
I did not see that, no, but one definitely a legendary one for the ages, right?
It was bananas.
Like get in the studio. Gulch is like one of my I would say they're a guilty pleasure, I think, for me, because they play them in the kitchen and everyone's like, I can't, what are they, what's he saying? I'm like, just listen to it and feel this energy, you know, while we're chopping carrots or whatever. Just like especially Sin in My Heart, that's like my favorite one.
Sin in My Heart was amazing, and they played that, and I don't know. I mean, Gruel for the Beast, like and it was unreal too, because like on the downstage edge of the stage, they built actually like a 3-foot by 40-foot by 4-foot deep, like step.
There was no
barricade, you know? So there was kind of like a 40-foot runway in front of the stage that was like 3 feet down from the stage level.
I love that.
And so you kind of had like ground level, 40-foot runway, deck, stage level. So you had three tiers of people that could mount, like, you know, go and, you know, pound across the front row and like if they wanted to get up on deck and then jump over the runway onto the, it was carnage.
Love that.
Like good carnage. Like
that's the fury part of the Sound and Fury Festival is the,
well, I mean, the other, you know, I mean, like think about it, like a barricade to it there would be almost like more of a hazard.
Environment,
you know what I mean? Like in environments, yeah. In like big festival environments where security is needed, of course, 100%. Mm-hmm. But we're like, it's a hardcore setting. People know how to take care of each other, but people know it's going to get brutal. Like, then why don't you facilitate it to make it conducive to like a hardcore show?
I think that was a fantastic idea to have that. Like, especially when there's space to do so, like not at a club maybe, but like at that kind of level. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I know it broke. Just
like, it's, yeah, that fixed it a little bit, but it's all good.
Yeah. And so, did you get some stage dives in there?
No. I mean,
we're too old for this.
surfing is good exercise, but like, you know, I'm not. And also, I feel like I just weigh too much. Like, I'm too. It's not considerate to like jump off like, you know, a 5-foot stage onto a bunch of folks and trust them to catch like,
you know, There's some dudes bigger than you doing the same thing though, but you know, like you look like you're you know, less than 200 pounds or something, but some guys were like up there full force cannonball into the crowd kind of thing, you know.
But yeah, it was great. Same thing, like knocked loose his set at Coachella this year was pretty amazing, just, you know, seeing folks go off for them in that capacity.
That's right. So you go to all the shows. You go as a friend, as a fan, as a lover of the music.
No. I work as a production manager as well and stage.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it. So, yeah. so that's kind of a day job kind of gig situation when you're not playing drums?
Yeah.
Or is that full time? I mean,
well, it kind of evolved too from just kind of working at Black Hat, you know, like kind of taking it back to like growing up and like, you know, segueing from a band where we were kind of tied into, you know, like these people who were, you know, involved in, you know, the Northern Virginia kind of like indie rock scene in the mid 90s and stuff, and their relationship, like bands like Tsunami and Velocity Girl and their relationship with Simple Machines Records to Discord Records. And then so, and their kind of conduit to, you know, places like Black Hat and 930 Club, you know, and Black Hat was like awesome because that opened and it was another all ages venue that was like a little bit smaller than 930. And, you know, they also, you know, they had a back room where you could do like smaller capacity shows too. And they had a great bar. They had a great kitchen that was like Dante's Menu from Food for Thought, basically. And Mark Haggerty and Bernie Wandell were you know, the first guys who trained me at Black Hat to kind of like, you know, really deal with bands and deal with artists and, you know, how to kind of be like a band and artist liaison and how to, you know, be hospitable to, you know, touring folks, some of who happen to be icons, some of who happen to just live down the street. But either way, you know, like, and it really, you know, was kind of like, there was very little separation between like, are you working the show or are you playing the show? Right. And so coming out to Los Angeles was like a very big, culture shock, kind of like culture work shock, because I'm just like, man, it's like there's this weird stigma like in separation because there's such a like show value here, you know? And it's a lot of work and someone's got to do it, you know?
Yeah. It definitely part of either the crew or the artist crew. And I was just talking to my friend last night, who he's on tour with, you know, he works, he's crew for bands. And he's like, I'm always going to take care of the crew first, basically over the bands, because the bands always get what they need in the end, but we got to make sure the crew is good to make sure the bands are good. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good way to put it, I guess. Cause you need one for the other, chicken, egg situation, I guess, but.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, like, and it's also a matter of respect and it's like a good, you know, signpost of equality too. And I think that, and taking it back to DC, I think that's what was so just like, you know, it was so, like affirming knowing that the folks you were working for, you know, appreciated it, because then once you start touring and you see those 930 shirts and sweatshirts all around the US and all around the world, you're like, whoa, people really respect this venue. And, you know, and the same thing, you hear people saying like, oh, Black Hat and 930 Club. And I think it was because, you know, in an age of, you know, a touring circuit that was, you know, kind of like you got there and you showed up and what you got was what you got, 930 and Black Hat were like oases of like hospitality and good vibes and people who wanted to see your show go off, you know?
Have you found anything like that in Long Beach or at Los Angeles?
Well, you know, when I moved out here, I ended up working for years for FYF. So like, while I was also like playing like with bands and doing like sessions and stuff like that, I was also, you know, working for them. And and I felt like it was kind of the same thing. It was like, you know, this gratitude to be of service to all of these bands and artists who I'd either, you know, toured with, or, you know, done shows for at Black Hat, you know, like, you know, did hospitality or set them up or loaded them in or did sound for them, you know, very brief sound, like period in my career at Black Hat as a sound engineer, but it was in there. And, you know, Dennis,
add it to the resume.
Dennis taught me before I split, and, you know, I was able to use that, you know, when I came out to Los Angeles. And, but, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like coming from DC was just like a really, really special place that, like, I don't know. I'm grateful I got to grow up when I grew up there.
It's like there's nothing like it. Like every city has a different scene, but that's the DC one will always have its own legend. And you're stoked to be a part of it.
And
What is
and
go ahead, go ahead.
well, just to continue on that, you know what I mean? Like that there was this band I was playing in 2000, like around 2007, 2008, called Title Tracks. And our first 45 Ian put out on Discord for us. And so it was like another thing where it was just like, this is it. You know, just like, you know, playing in Battery or, you know, just like these things where you're just like, you didn't think that was ever going to happen, you know?
All these
And
cool
then
things.
just by, you know, interacting with people in the community, I don't know, I can't really explain it. It's kind of like, you know, the day you plant the seed is not the same day you eat the fruit, and you never know when it's gonna fucking bloom, you know?
That's true. That's a good food analogy for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true though. Like you can't expect stuff right away. Or even if I'm bringing a raw product in, that's not gonna, it takes 3 days to translate to a wedding plate or whatever, you know? So I totally feel you on that. Or even if you get a song inspiration, it's gonna take a little
Do you
bit.
know? I was talking with a friend recently. And we were talking about the similarities between the back of house for catering and for like, you know, line prep work and stuff, and you know, the back of house for production, and just like the similarities on like the work stress, the physical stress, the anxiety, the hours,
Oh, say less.
the unseenness, you know, the back of houseness. Of like all of these like integral parts to the machinery of these like huge productions that people come in and out of without really thinking what it went into, you know?
Totally.
Just setting up the gas line to get your stoves like up and running at a production.
Oh,
You know what
dude,
I'm saying?
it takes a lot. Your friend is a genius.
No,
Whoever thought of this is a genius.
wait. This is just what we were talking about because he's
it's
a
true.
chef.
It's true.
You know what I mean? And so like I brought it up to him about how, you know, like I see the similarities, you know what I mean? But I think
It's
that's
totally
because,
this. Yeah.
yeah.
It's no, that's so accurate. Sometimes we also call it the heart of the house, HOH or whatever. Because it's a it you don't see the heart and you're on the body, but you definitely need that to operate, right? Definitely need that.
100%.
But
100%.
tell your friend, yeah, big shout out, Chef. That's cool. What about
My
what's
boy, it's my boy Drew Landria.
nice. Shout out Drew, Chef Drew. For seeing that value in the heart of house, back of house, and but what's Black's Records? Are you doing a record label too? Or is it Black's Records?
It's Black's Records. And I started it just to kind of put out my own acoustic drum breaks on 45s for DJs and producers. And so I kind of like I put out like 245s and like a couple of digital releases, but I haven't put anything out in a while.
Oh yeah, of your drum beats.
I mean,
Love
I've
it.
got I actually have a sample pack coming out with my friend Raul, who recorded an amazing like entire sample pack
Rad.
for me. Yeah, it should be out like later this summer. And it was this like early 90s Ludwig kit that I'd never really used in the studio before. And
Nice.
you know, his whole idea, it was like, I want to capture your kit, you know? And so I brought my kit in, and you know, he got a individual velocity sensitive samples for every single voice on the kit. And
That sounds cool.
and it It's funny, he even got psyched on this one cymbal that I brought in that he's like, no, I want it. Because like when I first, you know, was about to come into the studio, I was like, hey, so for like time's sake, do you want me to just like use your kit and like use like, you know, the EQ and everything that you know is good, you know, mic placement and everything, so you can just like bop ready to go.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I want you to bring yours. I want to hear your sound. I want to hear like your feel, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he brought up a really good point. You know, he's like, I want to use that crash. I want you to use that, that cymbal. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of like fucked up. I'll show you. And, and it was a result. Yeah, I'll grab it for you real quick.
Sure.
Cause I want to show this to you.
Yeah.
It's right here. It's on top of the stack. So it's this 23 inch sweet ride, but, you know, as you can see, it's kind of lopsided. Like
yeah,
it's
right had some here. Love. Yeah.
And like, it started cracking, like, and so, to alleviate the cracks, I just like grounded on the concrete, like on the ground.
So, yeah.
Till it just like, you know, till it evened out. And he's like, yeah, I want to hear that. I want to hear that like kind of trashiness to it, you know? So
yeah.
It's going to be part of your sample pack. It's going to be part of your sound. So I really appreciated the way Riff Audio is his name on Instagram, but the way Raul was like, yeah, let's capture your sound, your playing, you know?
That's dope. I follow him. I think maybe I found him through something you said about the kit. But that's cool because even a unique, quote unquote, unique or trashy sound of that cymbal, that's what some people try to get with their like pedals. They put pedals on the drums to get different sounds and samples just to make a fake sound that sounds like your real sound with that cymbal. That's very dedicated sound just to that one thing, you know? I love that.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, I mean, like, it's not, you know, it doesn't have the greatest resonance anymore, you know, but it still sounds better than like a cracked, like, trash cymbal, you know?
It makes a sound, right? But that's cool. What's, so God Collider's coming on tour, and what if you could think of something really quick to, what kind of food or beverage are you going to pair with, like, your favorite God Collider song? Like, what does it make you feel? You know, if you're eating the certain thing or hearing God Collider, like how can we put those things together? Let's see. God Collider has got a lot of energy. God Collider is heavy.
I feel like I kind of need long-term sustained energy. So I'm thinking like maybe like a vegetarian friendly Caesar dressing over kind of like kale and you know, iceberg for like a Caesar mix with then maybe like vegetarian fried chicken pieces in.
Oh yeah. Those are hot right now for sure.
like a fried, like a veg fried chicken Caesar salad.
Yeah. So dense caloric, good, rich flavors. I love it. The umami.
And enough fiber that I can kind of like crunch down and like keep eating like a big salad size, like
the kind where you get full but you don't feel sick. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That's what I want. I want that feeling of like, you know, fibrous food that like feels like you just like compacted a bunch of like potential sustained energy.
And you can just feel the calories when you're slamming the cymbal or whatever, you know. And I mean, cause you, when you play the kit, are you one of the people who hits it as hard as they can, or are you finessing everything to make it sound bigger? Does that make sense? Not just always wham, 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 but like, you know, hitting it just the right, with just the right power.
I mean, I think it depends on the size of the room. I think it depends on the size of the stage. It depends on how much time I have to like address a monitor and really get a mix that's like working for me. It's also kind of dependent on, you know, I said the room, but to be more specific, how my instrument sounds in relationship to the other instruments in the room. It's like if it's a really live room and I can tell that like my like hard hits are kind of like they rarely overpower everything in God Collider because this is like so loud. But like bands that I've been in, like title tracks or like Georgie James, which was like more of like an indie band that was on Saddle Creek, like circa 2006, 2007. Like, you know, there was like more delicate music, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be a basher on that.
For sure.
I had to be like very light and delicate, And, and you know, so I think, you know, you really have to like, you know, just hit appropriate to, you know, whatever artist you're playing with. But I think,
exactly,
you know, there's this threshold that you cross when you're hitting so hard, whether it's a snare or whether it's a cymbal, that it's almost kind of like working against the natural tone of it. And you just hear the abuse rather than like the voice,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's a well put. That's the same thing I say in the kitchen. It's like, I don't have to have the sharpest knife to make the best product. You know, it's like play the hits, play to the audience, and you know, your work will shine through, I think, for the most part. So I totally feel you on that. Sounds like you learned a lot over the years, just going all over DC and East Coast, and now all over, you know, being in LA bands and production managing and having a vegetarian lifestyle. It's like, why don't you close me out with some wisdom? Give me something you'd actually like learn to like better your life or better other people's lives through either music or what you've learned from a broken back or anything like that.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Try to make peace with time, you know, because it's not going to stop and it reaches some like the corners of the universe, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know. Like figure out a way to make time your ally, because like I've tried to spend my life subdividing time, and now I'm getting at a point in my life where I can feel things like back surgery and like, you know, and it suddenly feels like time is subdividing you and, you know, and so I don't know. I mean, I guess that's it, you know, just, you know, try to just find some type of peace and like a resolution with time.
Yeah.
You know?
That's simple, but effective, life policy, kind of like, do you control your time or vice versa kind of thing?
100%.
It's good for chefs, good for musicians, you know, and everyone in between, I think, because time, I don't know. That's a deep one, actually. You made it sound simple, but it's actually pretty deep.
I know. Do we want to go there?
I don't even know. I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you in San Diego, June 8th, June 9th, one of the two. You're on tour with God Collider, touring with Zao, and some other cool bands too. So yeah, gonna be stoked. That's rad,
dude. I'm so stoked to meet you in person, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Hang out. Yeah,
same, dude. Enjoy the rest of your day.
I will. Thank you so much for talking. It's been like great. I've had a wonderful time, and I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Rock on. Have a good day. Go surfing again. All right, later.
Tomorrow.
Let's see you. Bye.
Right, Dad. It's a big deal.
Okay, here's the thought. I see an empty stage. I see drums. I see a drummer. I see a microphone. And I see a singer.
Dad.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, amigos y familia, there you have it. My conversation with Andrew Black, Mr. Andrew Black, Black's Records. He does it all. He does it all. Production management, production assistant for festivals, drumming, samples and loops and samples. And good stuff. We barely touched the server. I'm going to have a part two. Andrew, are you listening to this? We're going to do a part two because we talked about this. We talked about the new single Perihelion with God Collider, which is awesome. And I'm going to play that after this. But of course, there's so many other things that you do that we didn't even talk about. Check out his Instagram page, Black's Records. You can see more stuff that he does, more stuff that he likes, more people he's involved with, and all that kind of stuff. So we barely scratched the surface, baby. So yeah, anyways, this has been The Family Cast. I'm Chef Josh. This is part of the Emo Brown Media Group, and you be sure to check out all the stuff that Emo Brown does for the community around here and beyond. They do so much more than that, so check them out and all the other podcasts that are on the media group as well. So I guess I'll see you in my kitchen for lunch sometime, or at the beer pairing dinner on June 11th. And just a few days before that, I'll see you at the concert that Andrew is going to be playing drums at. It's at Brick by Brick, beloved venue of the homies own it. And it's one of my favorite ones around here. So yeah, God Collider and Zayo on one night, and I'm actually going to be going to the show the day before that too, so I'll be there two nights in a row, so let's go. And that's just a few days before the beer pairing dinner I'm doing, so check it out. I'll put all these links in the show notes, and of course instagram.com/thefamilycast. That's where all the good details are. And I don't know, that's really about it. Until the next time, I'll see everybody in the kitchen, maybe. All right, here is, oh yeah, let me tell you a little bit about the single Perihelion by God Collider. That's when a planet or an asteroid or anything like that is in orbit closest to the sun. When they're this closest to the sun. Okay? All right. That's what that means. And that's a single out now. So check it out. And the album should be coming out soon on Indecision Records. That's about it for me. I gotta go. I'll talk to you on the next one. All right, everybody. Here's the song by God Collider, Perihelion. Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to The Family Cast.